Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone. I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing great, sweetie. Had a wonderful holiday weekend. Good food, wonderful cocktails. Went to see Top Gun. How about you, honey? What'd you do?
I did quite a bit this weekend. I did go see Top Gun as well. I also visited Hotel Dryce in Fort Worth, Texas this weekend. Oh. And that was a lot of fun. They had a DJ playing, DJ Sober, who's like a really popular DJ in the DFW area. And it was really, really, really nice on Friday, that Friday evening. It was pretty rocking. And so, I recommend that everyone check out Hotel Dryce and make sure you get a cocktail or two at their lobby bar, because their lobby is banging.
So, okay. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'm glad you had a good time. And that's with Jonathan, correct?
That's with Jonathan. Yeah, that's with Jonathan. He's a co-owner of Hotel Dryce, and he also was a co-host of Self-Employed on the Magnolia Network, and he owns a barbershop. You know, okay. He's just an entrepreneur extraordinaire. And he was on the show. So guys, please check out Hotel Dryce.
Okay, wonderful.
So, something else that I went to was Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, and I was actually supposed to go there for my bachelorette some years ago, my bachelorette weekend. Didn't quite make it there, but we went this weekend, and I had a good time. It was fun. You know, we went early, so we didn't really get to see everybody partying, but I liked it. And for some reason, I thought they had mechanical bulls, but there are no mechanical bulls there. They have actual live bulls, bull riding.
Did you get on the bull, daughter? Were you bull riding?
No, next time.
I could have imagined you bouncing your arse off the bull. I could imagine that.
Good, my good. It's too early in the week.
Goodness. Good. Oh, no.
And it's too hot. So let's get on to what we're sipping on.
But wait a minute. But didn't you go to another lovely place on Saturday?
Oh, I did.
Wasn't it a...
it was a vineyard. I have to get that name. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me get the name of the vineyard. Oh, you call me out, Ma?
I just happened to know that you were there.
Yes. Edge of the Lake Vineyard. Yes. And it is Black owned, and it is in Valley View, Texas. And so, it was really nice, really beautiful, beautiful home that they, you know, turned into a place for the vineyard. And they had a nice pool. It was beautiful weather. If somebody else was celebrating a bachelorette weekend and there was a bunch of cowgirls, it was really, really, really nice. Had a really good time. Mm-hmm. So, we'll probably talk some more about that vineyard. As I said, it is Black owned.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay. So are you ready, Ma? Let's go.
I'm ready whenever you are.
We are sipping on... So this is an old fashioned called Classic Old Fashioned, Courage and Stone by Aisha Tyler. Remember Aisha Tyler, the actress?
Yes.
Yes.
And so she has her own label now?
She does. It's currently not available in Texas, but someone in Oklahoma, this is courtesy of a friend of ours in Oklahoma. It is in multiple states. So go to Courage and Stone website to see where you can get it at, guys. All right, Mom.
Okay. Now, what is this? What drink is it?
It's whiskey.
Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. For it. I see it looks dark, but I couldn't really tell. Okay. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty strong.
Oh, that really is whiskey.
Yes. Okay. So, let's start off with pop culture, but we're really not technically starting off with pop culture. We're talking about a movie. So, as you know, Top Gun Maverick made over $156 million in its four-day opening weekend.
Yes, I heard it broke all kind of records.
Yes, the biggest opening over the Memorial Day weekend. And of course, it's starring Tom Cruise. After a 35-year hiatus, we get to see Pete Maverick Mitchell back, you know, to test the envelope. And this time he is dealing with some young pupils. We have Miles Turner, Jay Ellis, Glenn Powell, Monica Barbaro, and of course we have John Hamm and Jennifer Connelly, and we have Val Kilmer and also Ed Harris. So, Mom, what are your thoughts on Top Gun Maverick?
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. It was just sort of a trip down memory lane. I really was happy to see Val Kilmer, because I know he's had a lot of health issues lately, and he's like one of my favorite people. And so I was happy to see him, and he looked pretty good, I thought, you know, all things considered. Mm-hmm. I thought he really looked pretty good. Of course, I was happy to see Tom Hanks, oh my goodness, Tom Cruise, because I hadn't really seen him in a while in a vehicle like this. And it was just good to see Maverick again. I was happy that he had a love interest, and he seemed to really, you know, not just be a loner. And I was happy to see that it was Jennifer Connelly and not a 20-year-old. So I was very happy to see that. I just really enjoyed it immensely. It had lots of action, and, you know, and the fighter planes were doing their thing, and they were on like a real mission. And so there was the on your edge of the seat type of excitement, you know, and I just thought it was really, really good. I liked the reunification of Tom Cruise Maverick and the son and Goose's son.
Rooster, played by Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I really liked that reunification, because there was a lot of, you know, unexplained things going on. And I don't want to reveal, for those who haven't seen it, I really don't want to tell all the, you know, the entire script, but I thought it was really good. There was actually a storyline, and I thought it was, overall, just a really great feel-good movie. I was really very pleased with it. I thought the performances were good, and I thought the cast was really good and good-looking. And I thought it was just basically really very exciting.
I'm with you. I really enjoyed it. It probably exceeded my expectations, because I was never like a huge Top Gun person, and you know, just kind of like all of the hype about it leading up to it made me want to go see it. And I thought Tom Cruise, he's always interesting, no matter whatever he's doing. I thought he was great. I thought the cast was good. It was good to see John Hamm also.
Shout out to John Hamm.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, we always associate him with Mad Men, but he, you know, he's very talented. He can do other things.
He did his thing in this movie as well. Yeah.
And I did, of course, like Jennifer Connelly. But I would like to, you know, also mention, what's his name? Hangman. The actor that played Hangman, I thought he did a good job. I thought, you know, he also was very likable. And of course, Miles Turner and everybody, Jay Ellis from Insecure, he had, a decent sized role. I love the flying scenes. They were really awesome. And you could tell
That was most of the movie.
Yeah.
Most of the film was them in the air. It was really spectacular flying scenes.
And you know what, in the action, sometimes when there's a lot of action in the films, you feel that there's no meat and no content, but I enjoyed it. I thought that the action scenes were well done. And I thought it actually did have a plot. And I'm happy, they did a good job. You know, they didn't come back and it wasn't a money grab. They took their time with it.
Right.
So I am going to give it a top shelf. I'm going to go with 8.5 top shelf.
I'm giving it a top shelf as well. And I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 9 top shelf. Yeah.
Okay.
I super enjoyed it.
Okay. So now we really are going to move into some pop culture topics. And the first one is So Monique and D.L. Hughley. So D.L. Hughley took to Instagram to fire back at Monique after she spent some time on stage over the weekend, taking several digs at him over an alleged contract dispute. Monique told the crowd during her set at the Comedy Explosion in Detroit that her contract stipulated she would be the headliner. That's what this MFing contract says. Monique is to be the last MFing person on the goddamn stage. She is the headliner. That's what I signed the contract for. And of course, Monique claimed that D.L. Hughley attacked her when he had said something negative about her on a previous tour. And she had made some remarks about his family and implied his initials were in regards to him being secretly gay.
Yeah.
So in response, Hughley claimed the order on the ticket stub proves he was always supposed to be the headliner. Against my better judgment, over the objections of my team and four occasions where I said no, I decided to take a chance and work with Monique. And Hughley later brought up prior instances where Monique claimed she was done wrong by others, such as Oprah, Charlamagne, Netflix, and Tyler Perry.
And Lee Daniels.
Yes. And wondered.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
And wondered
and
if
Steve Harvey.
And,
yeah.
And wondered if she had been the problem all along. At some point, it can't be everyone else. It's you. Lesson learned.
At some point, it's you. At some point, it's you. You know what? Let me tell you something. I have always said this one thing about Monique. And she started with Charlamagne when she was on the morning show. She come in there.
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Yeah. And she, you know, listen, let me tell you. Here's one thing. And I learned it from personal experience. Because I used to be like Monique. It was always everybody else. I mean, I wasn't in show business, but it was always everybody else. It was never me. You understand? Everybody else was always wrong. It was never me. Every job I ever had, they all sucked. It was never me. Okay? And the truth was, at some point, I had to look at myself and say, Naomi, it's you. You just don't like the damn jobs. You just got a bad attitude. Okay? All right? And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Monique, I don't know who did what to you, when, where, how, why. But all I know is you complaining all the time. Can I hear a show from you where you're not complaining? Everybody complain sometime. But why is it your show? I know I'm going to hear a bunch of complaints. You're supposed to be a comedian. I want to laugh. I don't want to hear you complaining. I got my own damn complaints if I want to hear somebody complaining. Okay? I could pick up the phone and talk to any of your friends, family, whoever, if I want to hear a bunch of whining and moaning and groaning and complaining. Moni, why? No matter what the problem is, real or imagined, you or them, why are they for public consumption? Why isn't that a conversation between you and DL? Why isn't that a conversation between you and Lee Daniels, you and Oprah, you and Steve, you and Whoopi, you and Netflix? Why is that all for public consumption? You're a comedian, and in a minute, you're not going to be funny. In a minute, you're just going to be damn whining and annoying. I wouldn't work with you with a 10-foot pole because you are not funny. You have no grace and you have no sense of humor. You came on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne. I don't know if you cracked one damn joke the whole time. You was reprimanding Charlamagne the whole time. You are not funny. I'm sure you're talented somewhere under there, but are you even worth the trouble? Listen, God bless 50. You start with him, you done F with the wrong one because 50 got some shit for you, okay? Because he like to start shit too. But only 50 has a heart and he don't let it get in the way of his business. 50 is smart. He don't let that nonsense get in the way of his business. He don't lead with nonsense. He lead with the business. He's about the business, okay? And you saying all these years you've been in this and you've been in that. Well, you know, maybe you need to look at your resume and your behavior. It's not good, Monique. It's not good. You're one of the few African-American women with an Oscar, and you go around fighting everybody you see publicly. It's not good. I don't know what your problem is, but it's not good. Oh, all right, I'm out.
I'm laughing because you mentioned about the Oscars and fighting, and that's when my mind went somewhere that it shouldn't have gone. Whatever.
You know, so I'm just like, no, Monique, no. I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't care. That should have been a conversation between you and DL. And you could have cussed him out if you want to. That's your business. Who cares? That's you and him.
Well,
I know you've known him since the Queen of Comedies. You know, I know you've known him for many, many years. And the whole public knows you've known him because he was in the King of Comedies and you was in the Queen of Comedies. So where everybody knows that. So you could have had a conversation with him if you was mad with him or y'all had a beef about something. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Who knows? Who cares? Why is that your whole spiel? MF for this. And he DL over here. I saw the whole thing. I saw it all clips on YouTube.
I don't know what's going on with Monique, but I do know that, you know, there's a better way to handle things. There's a more professional way, and that there's just like a more human, personal way to handle things like this. And I hope that whatever is going on in Monique's life, that she gets, you know, the help that she needs, because she, you know, I think that she needs some therapy. And I don't say that as a diss to you, because we all can benefit from therapy, every single person walking on earth. I really think that Monique is a very talented actress, but I think that all of her, these things overshadow, you know, her talent as far
as being completely and totally. All of a sudden, you're not Monique, funny, talented, actress, comedic actress, stand-up comedian. All of a sudden, you're not that. All of a sudden, it's, oh, wow, is that loudmouth, vulgar Monique bitching and moaning again? That's what it becomes when people hear your name.
And I think, and honestly, I think that what Monique as a comedian, I don't even remember her as a comedian anymore. Like, I wish that she wouldn't do that, because when we saw her in the Parkers, you know, she was funny and she would wear her cute little outfits and everything.
She was good when she was playing, Ma Rainey or whatever she was playing up there with her best
friend. I'm talking about, you know, comedy.
Yeah, but I mean, she's good as an act. She has some chops.
No, she does.
But you can't. But all you think of when you hear Monique, all you hear is, here's a fight. What's she complaining about now?
What I was saying was, is that we know she can bring the drama. Yeah. She's up there as a comedian. Yeah. And that is the issue. Like, you know, as a comedian, it's not really funny when you always are so angry and so upset and so hurt.
She's bringing a lot of negativity, and people tune in into her for the fun. Maybe she is in the wrong, you know, in the wrong of...
Tune into her for the what?
What'd you say?
You tune into her for what? I didn't understand that last
part. I don't even know what, okay. But anyhow, people tune into her for entertainment, you know, not and for laughs because she's supposed to be a comedian. Maybe she needs to go on one of these, these reality shows where she's just picking fights, bad girl or bad woman.
She says she won't do that.
You know what? Maybe she won't do it for money, but she is damn sure doing it for free. We hear and see it all the time. And you know, I'm like, I really had it. You know, that's enough of that. Go on and get yourself straightened out. All that is not for the public. Come on. You ain't helping nobody. You ain't fighting no cause. You not fighting the cause. You just fighting because. You know, so no, I'm not a fan. Not a fan, Monique. Not a fan.
Okay. So the next topic is, I guess, you know, over the Memorial Day weekend, Ma, a tweet went viral regarding Delta Airlines. Delta had to cancel so many flights because people had COVID and they didn't have enough, you know, people to replace. So there's many different reasons. But anyway, so an upset customer who found out Friday evening that her Saturday morning flight was going to be canceled tweeted at Delta. Are you kidding? at Delta. You canceled the flight for tomorrow morning and rescheduled for Sunday. We have family plans that you have now ruined. Please make this right at Delta. Well, I guess she waited a little bit longer and, you know, some time passed. That customer, she said, waiting for Daisy, the customer rep from Delta, to make things right. What is happening, Delta? So from Delta's verified account came a tweet. Can you calm down and allow me some time to work, please? So Ma, what are your thoughts on this? Was this inappropriate to come from a company's account?
Okay, so you're coloring my opinion, but yes, yes, I thought it was extremely inappropriate. The responding person should have apologized immediately, because it was whatever was going on. There's a piece of it that's Delta's fault. And even if it is not Delta's fault, that person is Delta's customer. Mm-hmm. And they should have provided much more efficient and competent and caring customer service. So that was a totally inappropriate response. They should have led with their sorry. And I would have gone so far as to offer some of the things that I'm authorized to offer. I'm sure she's authorized, that person, he or she is authorized to offer certain things up to a certain amount. Mm-hmm. I would have, you know, made some recommendations and suggested some of the things that we could offer to attempt to compensate or correct. I don't know that they could do anything in terms of getting them there that Saturday evening, but I would have offered whatever it is that I know that I'm authorized to offer, you know, extra free trips, a free weekend, a free stay at a hotel, financial compensation, whatever the things are, mm-hmm. whatever the things are, to just sort of make that client whole again, because it was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
And to retain that client, you know, because some of it is beyond the control of Delta, and then some of it is within their control, you know, so they had to sort of balance that out. But the main thing is that it is their job to not placate the customer, but sort of make the customer feel a bit better about the inconvenience and you know, missing out on whatever that family event may have been. Because I'm quite sure many customers were inconvenienced as well. And so that's the whole thing. Never should the customer service person have responded in a way that they seem to be annoyed, or if you're doing them a great injustice, asking them to correct something that was largely their mistake.
Well, you know, the issue with it, not only was it a customer service person, it came from the verified Delta account that millions of people see. And so we don't know whoever that was behind, you know, that account, if they just went rogue, if they were just frustrated or whatever the case, but they clearly made, you know, a huge mistake.
Well, it was a bad move. Well, you know what? And whoever that was, I don't know if they were a seasoned professional or somebody really new and, you know, who maybe, you know, was being overwhelmed with the whole thing. But this is not the first time we've seen very poor management that we know for sure resulted in loss of revenue. We've seen very poor management that we couldn't even believe that they were so foolish to behave the way they did.
And what I'm going to say is, at the time of our recording, we don't know what has happened to whoever it is behind that tweet for Delta. Yeah. But I do think was going to be some type of repercussions. I don't advocate for anybody to lose their job, of course, but, you know, some type of, you know, punishment or something needs to be done in this case, because it's not good customer service.
Ditto. I agree with you, daughter. Moving on.
Okay. So one of your favorite people, actually, Mr. Joe Rogan, and I say that jokingly.
I'm not a fan of Joe Rogan's, and, you know, don't follow him and don't know too much about him. And I have very little interest in him. So let's wrap this up real quick.
So he defended his opposition to gun control, you know, after, you know, everything that recently happened at Uvalde and just everything. He said, it's like, how do you stop that? No one knows how to stop that, he said in an interview with scientist Alex Friedman. He said, what
people
is the answer?
Know how to stop it.
Is
people
the answer
stop it. People stop it everywhere.
Is the answer to take everyone's guns? Well, they're not going to give their guns up. Our criminals are going to have guns. It's not going to be a good situation. And he says he doesn't think it's smart to take all the guns away from people and give all the power to the government. So okay, what are your thoughts on Joe Rogan's?
You know, I don't like you even asking me questions about him because you know I have no respect for his asinine opinion and do not like to talk about him. I don't like it. You know, he's very much toward white nationalism and so forth, and I don't like it, and I don't like him. And I don't like even addressing him because I don't want to go there. You know, I don't want to take the, you know, the whole show over there. I don't want to.
Well, we're not taking the whole show over there. It's just something that was trending.
Well, we are because we know that in the first place that was asinine because nobody suggested taking everyone's guns. And in the first place, these people who are going around doing these mass shootings, they're not seasoned criminals, a dumb ass. They're not seasoned criminals. They're young kids who got their hands on a gun, and most of them have no damn criminal record at all. There ain't nobody. How many mass shooters you see going in just because they want to rob somebody and turn into a mass killer? No, these fuckers just are whatever is wrong with them, need all type of help, and they can get guns. And that's how they deal with whatever their mental health and anger issues are. They pick up a gun. Most of them have no criminal record. So, you know, so what are you even talking about? And nobody is suggesting going around taking guns from everyone. And it's already a situation where all these mass shooters, they have more firepower than the cops. And everybody knows that. Unless you calling out SWAT or somebody, the regular beat police, they have, you know, the police don't walk around with assault weapons. You know, but these mass killers walk in the store and buy them. And they have, and they don't necessarily have any criminal record. They may have mental health issues, but they don't necessarily have criminal records. Most of them, young boys, don't have any criminal history. But well, they go in and slaughter people with assault weapons. Joe Rogan, go ahead.
He knows better than what he's saying.
Joe Rogan, and you're just exploiting people who are uninformed and ill-informed and misinformed.
Well, that's what bothers me because
and for that, Joe Rogan, you're a vile person. Well, because you, Joe Rogan, know better than what you're saying. You know yourself that what you're saying is not the truth.
Well, yeah, that's what bothers me because he's not an unintelligent person. He knows that what he's saying makes no sense.
And like I said,
he doesn't need clickbait. You know, right. he's making millions and millions of dollars and has loyal fans.
He wants to keep his popularity among
but people. But people need to call him out.
This appeals to his base.
But people need to call him. My people need to call him out. People don't need you just
all right,
to there.
I go with you 100% on that. But it just makes me real PO to even talk about him because he knows better, and he's just taking advantage of people who are just either just gullible or susceptible to this type of nonsense, or just want to believe, or people who are just like him, know better but don't care. You know, for whatever reason, because they think they're going to somehow be empowered by holding on to that whole nonsense, you know. So, you know, I'm out with Joe Rogan.
Okay.
You know, he's another one. And I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Okay, so we can move on and talk about something definitely a little lighter. So the NBA finals are starting on June 2nd. And
who's
it's
in the finals? Steph and
the Warriors versus the Celtics.
Golden State and Boston.
Correct. Okay. So two people who won't be playing in the NBA finals, unfortunately, because they were swept by the Celtics are KD and Kyrie. And so, Ma, and for all the listeners out there, KD was on the Golden State Warriors. And Kyrie was on the Boston Celtics. Should they feel bad for leaving Boston and the Warriors? I'll start this off.
You can start and finish it. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Start and finish it.
Good. So feel bad. I don't know if you want to say they should feel bad. I don't think they made the best decision to come together and work as a team. I think that KD obviously wanted to have his own legacy and to have a team where he felt that he was the leader and that he won a championship, you know, outside of Steph and Clay and Draymond, who have built their own legacy. As far as Kyrie is concerned, you know, I love to watch Kyrie as a basketball player. I just don't enjoy, you know, some of the antics, and I never know if he's actually going to play. Like every day, even if he's not injured, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's a 50-50 chance that he'll play if he's a completely healthy. So that's an issue. Should they feel bad? Maybe they should feel bad for playing together. They shouldn't feel bad from leaving their former teams. So, you know, so let's watch the Warriors and the Celtics. I think it's going to be a good NBA Finals. You know, we have Nia Long's man is the coach for the Boston Celtics, and Steve Kerr for the Warriors, who I think is a really, really a good, decent human being. Savannah, did you have anything that you wanted to add to that?
Kyrie is way too temperamental and bullshit. Any team he's on, he brings the drama. You know, he's held his team hostage for months and months simply because he wouldn't get immunized, you know, and he's just really not a team player. He's I don't know who they think he is and what they think they're doing with him, but I'm telling you now, I would run from Kyrie. He's brought nothing but drama. He's not worth it. I understand he has a lot of talent and this and that, but he is simply not worth it. You have to assess this cost versus benefit, and he is not worth the benefit. What it costs the team to be bothered with him and his antics and his inconsistency and his selfishness and his just straight up bullshit? No, he is not worth it. KD, you know, I think somewhere deep down underneath you're a sweetie, but you know, this hasn't worked out well. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. So we're going to move on. So somebody else that was in the news, Paul Pelosi, husband of Nancy Pelosi.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
So he was arrested for alleged drunk driving after a two-vehicle collision in his home state of California.
Drunk, you know, listen.
And he's 82.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm figuring he's her age out there, older than dust, drunk driving. That, you know, that's ridiculous, man. You know, you got to have your own driver or use Uber or Lyft like the other people. No, you did the wrong thing. The roads are not safe with you on them. No, that's a no.
I was just gonna say that he was driving his 2021 Porsche and he was hit by a 2014 Jeep, and Pelosi, she was, I forgot where Nancy was. Nancy was speaking somewhere. She was at a speaking engagement, and he was on his way home.
In the car with him, whatever she was doing.
Correct. And this was after dinner party, and this was at 10:15 p.m.
Yeah, right. So he was drunk. He didn't have any business out there like that.
He made a mistake. I think that's like the, you know, the man, and I shouldn't say men do that because women do it as well. But sometimes people think that they, you know, oh, this is me. I'm strong, and oh, I really haven't had that much to drink. Listen, and I can handle
let
it.
Let me tell you
and
something.
But he needed a driver.
But see, my thing is that he's 82 years old. He's been drinking a long time.
Yeah.
And he, you know, no.
He's only in his 80s.
Yeah, right. He's been drinking a long time, but here's the part. He's unwilling to accept the fact that his reflexes aren't what they used to be. His eyesight is not what it used to be. And he's driving a damn speed demon car. Now, you know, look. Okay, he needs to use his driver. I'm quite sure they have a driver, you know. And then if he doesn't have a personal driver, he needs to do like the rest of the people and call Lyft or Uber or some of the services, you know. That's it. Ain't nothing else to that story, you know. I don't want to hear about him out there drunk on the roads. The life he saved may be mine. I don't want him out there on the road.
Well, what I will say is that I'm happy that nobody was seriously injured. So
thank heavens.
Yeah.
Thank heavens. Yep.
Okay.
You go ahead and get yourself together, Paul Pelosi. You go get your 80-something-year-old self together.
So my Bobby Brown has a bio out and also a new reality show. I haven't seen either of them. I don't think I'm going to watch. If I would watch one, would be the bio, definitely not the reality show. But anyway, in his bio, he said Janet Jackson, who he dated before meeting Whitney, was the crush of his life. What was it about Janet? He said everything, her little smile, body, her dance moves, her laughs. They loved each other's company, but did not have that long of a relationship. According to Brown, things didn't work out because she couldn't be with a man like himself. I'm from the projects. I'm hood. And her father, Joe Jackson, wouldn't allow her to be with someone like him. Do you think that's why things didn't work out between Janet and Bobby?
In part.
Oh, really?
Small part. Yes.
Okay.
In part at that stage, because that was 1,000 years ago, right? Okay. No, but I mean, they were very young. If somebody would bother to ask Joe Jackson, I don't know if at that point Janet was still asking Joe Jackson any damn thing, okay? Because once she turned 18, remember, she took control. Remember? She took control, okay?
Well, she was 19 when she took control.
Well, she already had control. So Joe Jackson didn't have very much to say about it, okay? Because Janet let everybody know, okay, that she was Miss Jackson at that point, okay? Hold up.
Oh, wow.
Let's just put it like it is. At that time in Janet's life, Bobby Brown may have been a little popular. I'm sure he was and all that. That's cute, all nice. He was popular, he's popular, everybody's going good. Bobby Brown, with the exception of one man that I seen her with, and that was Jermaine Dupri, and that was later on, and Jermaine still had juice downtown as he was an accomplished producer and so forth. Bobby Brown is not her physical type, especially back at that time. She wasn't really checking for somebody looking like Bobby Brown.
Wait a minute, Ma. What does that mean?
I didn't say what I think it means. I said, look at her. Look at patterns. Look at people patterns.
You don't know. Oh, come on. Everybody could do different things.
You could say what you say. You could say anything you say. I don't think she was checking that much for Bobby Brown. No matter what her father said, I think she made her own choice that Bobby, it may be your prerogative, but it's my prerogative to pick the man that I like, and I don't like what you got to offer. And that's what happened. He was not Rene Elizondo. He was not James DeBarge, or whichever DeBarge. You know, he wasn't none of them.
And her later husband, I don't remember his name, the billionaire.
Right. He wasn't none of them. Now it ain't looks. Now it's money and prestige. Oh, come on.
But it doesn't mean that you can't be attracted to different types of look.
No, okay. But it's the whole thing. That's why I say the father a little bit. Because some of the things that the father said will resonate with her. Because she thinks those things too. Because don't forget, he started having kids at what age? I'm sure he was already a father. He wasn't coming in with the type of resume or the looks, or he wasn't as famous as her. So he wasn't coming in with nothing that was really, you know, some category.
Okay.
In some category, had something like that. He was very popular for a minute with what he was doing. He wasn't never up to none of the Jacksons, you know, the major Jacksons, you know. He was never up to the Jacksons with the talent or the prestige. Very popular, you know. Okay, give him a shot for a minute. But he didn't never sustain the status. And he was hoodified already coming in there with a bunch of, you know, greasy nonsense. Okay, you know, as we say, you know what I mean. Already coming in there with a whole bunch of nonsense. Come on, you know what?
All right, Ma, you know, okay, I got you.
Hold on, already coming in there with a bunch of nonsense. Okay,
yes, Ma, I got
it. Not doing a thing to enhance her, but with a lot of problems to distract her. Okay, when she got with Renee, whatever happened between her and Renee, he focused on her and her career and helping her. Okay, that's documented.
Okay,
no. Okay, Bobby Brown was a dud, and she didn't need her father to tell her that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, I don't think
he wasn't good looking. He wasn't as famous as her. He had a terrible character. It was just nothing in there. And everything. It was nothing in there. Now, she admits she liked a lot of drug addicts. She had Janet to tell you the minute. I always was attracted to drug addict men.
Okay.
She would say that. Okay? So that's about the only thing that he had that he was like the rest of them with the drugs.
Well, can I just say, when people say where they're from, that to me that shouldn't have to reflect on your character. So when he said that, I was turned off. No, I'm telling you, he said that. He said that he's hood and he's from the projects. There's plenty of people that are from the projects and that are hood.
Not hood. They aren't hood.
And that's
bull crap. That's just Bobby making an excuse for how he behaved. Listen, let me tell you something. I ain't trying to see Bobby Brown no more. I don't want to see him. I had enough of seeing him. I'm sick of seeing him because, you know, he done buried two of his kids already.
Let's move on.
I'm just saying, what the hell you complaining about, Bobby? Get the
he wasn't complaining about anything. That was from his bio.
I understand that, but he's on there. No, I've seen clips of that. Oh, he would struggle. He went through so much. I don't want to hear you. I've seen clips. You know, I've seen little excerpts. Man,
well, I won't be watching it.
So far, you're betting 1,000. Not a fan. Not a fan of Bobby Brown. Go ahead.
Okay, so once again.
Bobby. Janet just didn't want you, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Once again, on an episode where you haven't really voiced your opinion much, we have your favorite segment, Naomi Knows Best. I'm gonna take a shot because I just have to.
Really with these topics today. Oh my God. Joe Rogan, Monique, Bobby Brown. Just lovely personalities.
Great.
Just people who just are so positive and wonderful. Great.
Okay.
Delish.
Okay. So, dear Naomi, I'm single and I'm 37. I've never been married. And each day that goes by, it's increasingly unlikely I ever will. I believe in the fairy tale of marriage, but it doesn't believe in me. I came close to getting married about a year ago until my fiance broke up a few weeks after putting a ring on my finger.
Oh, God.
We hadn't set a date, but we told all of our family and friends. In fact, the more people we told, I could visibly see my fiance getting cold feet. We were together 4 years, and I thought he was the one. My best friend has found her soulmate, and they are getting married around Christmas. I'm supposed to be her maid of honor, but I just can't. Maybe I'm being selfish. She's been like a sister to me since we were in the sixth grade. We've been best friends. I love her and want to be there for her, but I just think for myself, it's too much. Why not me? Why am I not getting married? What did I do wrong? Should I try to stick it out for my BFF, or should I tell her how I feel and hope she understands? Am I being selfish? What should I do?
Okay, the short answer, you didn't give me the name. I don't know the person's name. Okay.
I don't think they want
to. Okay. The short answer is yes, you're being extremely selfish. Your friend's path in life has nothing to do with your own. The fact that she's getting married and so on and so forth, and whatever wonderful things you are happening, you know, you think are happening for her, have nothing to do with what's going on in your own life. There's no correlation between her life and yours. Okay. You should be happy for your friend and wish and hope and work on the same thing happening for you if that's what you want in your life. The thing that you want is the thing that you should give. If you want love and warmth and acceptance in your life, you need to be given that. You need to be given that. Not getting mad and you can't stand it that your friend is getting married. What does that have to do with you? You need to be thinking, woo, wonder who's at the wedding looking good. Might be somebody at the wedding that could be, you know, you need to be thinking more positively. So what are you thinking? You're going to boycott your best friend's wedding and hurt her feelings and insult her because you're not getting married on the same day? Who's to say you're not getting married 5 months from now, 6 months from now? You don't know that. You are entirely too negative. You're going to have to lighten up and you're going to have to embrace positivity. And you're going to have to not be selfish. If your friend has invited you to be in her wedding and she's really your friend, you need to be in her wedding. And you also, I guess you've already said yes. So you need to honor your commitment. No, young lady, you need to change your attitude. You need a total attitude readjustment.
I don't think she feels young anymore, Ma. I mean, I know that's, I'm sorry. I don't need to.
Young is a relative term. Well, you can
feel. She's relatively young.
You can feel as old as you wanna, but the reality is that you have a whole lot more years to live if you live out your natural lifespan, okay? Mm-hmm. You have a whole lot ahead of you, okay? So let's just think in terms of reality. You're still in your childbearing years and you have a lot of years ahead of you. So you can make up any negative scenario you want to. The reality is what I just stated. You're still in your childbearing years and you have a lot of years ahead of you. You say you want to get married, then you need to be looking for your husband. Never mind what happened in the past. You can't unring that bell. Move forward. Doesn't matter what happened to the last fiance or the last boyfriend. Move forward. Move forward and look for the things you want and also give what you want to receive in your life. The end.
Okay, Ma. I thought that was really good advice. You know, and I hope that the person who sent that to you, I hope that she takes your advice.
I hope so for her sake.
Yeah. I just want to say, you know, I am not really a religious person, but I would like to say for everyone, you know, to be thankful and grateful and to hug people that they love and they care about right now. I just, as we were recording, I see there was another shooting. I think this may have been at a college. I'm not 100% sure. You know, this gun, you know, these gun mass shootings, this has to stop. We have to have gun control. We need the legislation now. And please, people, vote. Please do your research. It takes 5 minutes to find out about your local elections and who is representing you. You know, do it for your family, do it for your friends.
That's
please,
right.
Guys.
That's who you are most
do it for the children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do it for our democracy. Walk into that voting site, wherever it is, and push the button, pull the lever, whatever it is, and vote for the candidates of your choice. That's when you are most powerful. That's your strength and your power right there. One man, one vote. One woman, one vote. Irrespective to how rich or poor you are, cuts across all economic strata, all social strata, all ethnic and racial strata, you know, walk in there and place your vote.
So thanks for listening, guys. Please continue to like and subscribe on YouTube at All Things Peju, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. And follow us on all social media accounts at the Bambushi Happy Hour and All Things Peju. Bye, guys.
Bye.